This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Taking a closer look now at the banking sector. In the Pemulih package, which was announced this week by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, an automatic moratorium was also announced for all consumer micro enterprises and SME loans. Now, this opt-in initiative, which excludes credit card debt, is available to all Malaysians, regardless if they're in the B40, M40 or even T20 groups. Finance Minister Tengku Dato' Sri Zafrul Aziz also clarified the loan under the moratorium will not be interest-free, but the banks will waive the compounded interest as well as any penalty charges for 6 months.
I think the big question is, how will this initiative impact the earnings of the banking sector, and will the KL Finance Index, which has marginally outperformed the broader FBM KLCI by 2%, hang on to these gains?
So to find out, we're speaking this morning to Liu Wai Hong, banking analyst at RHB Research. Wai Hong, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Now, this recently announced Pemulih package includes an automatic six-month moratorium of opt-ins for all consumers and micro enterprises as well as SMEs. What kind of impact do you expect this will have on the banking sector?
The direct impact would be higher modification losses, but we think that it should not be significant. Definitely not as severe as the first blanket moratorium that we saw back in April last year. Now, this is because of three reasons. Number one, this so-called automatic moratorium still requires borrowers to apply for it, i.e. it's opt-in, which is the exact opposite of the first blanket moratorium, which was opt-out. Secondly, the new scope is expanded to include mostly T20 borrowers, you know, higher income, and to a lesser extent, more M40 borrowers as well. We think that this group of borrowers are less likely and less affected by the pandemic and lockdown. And finally, banks have already been giving assistance to these borrowers with very few preconditions in place, even before the latest moratorium announcement. Sure, there will be some opportunities who will take advantage of this moratorium, but the number should be minimal in our view.
So which bank is most and least impacted by this initiative?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Honestly speaking, it's very hard to assess which bank would be most and least impacted at a more granular level. However, generally speaking, banks with higher portion of higher purchase and fixed rate personal loans are expected to register higher modification losses, right? If you look back at the first moratorium, Public Bank and Maybank were amongst the most affected banks back then. Having said that, modification losses are mostly accounting losses, and this will be subsequently unwound when the borrowers resume payments later.
As the National Recovery Plan has no definite timelines for moving to the next phase, this poses uncertainties and affects expansion decisions. So what loan growth can we expect for the year?
Sure. At the moment, we are still looking at 4% growth for this year. We do see downside risk to our 4% expectation, although the latest monthly data by Bank Negara pointed to a year-to-date annualized growth of around 4.4%. Now, the slowdown in consumer lending is the larger downside risk in our view, given that this segment was the biggest loan growth driver back in 2020, right? So with this segment slowing down in 2021, that will certainly bring some downside risk to our 4% loan growth for the year.
Now, as many SMEs and small businesses are impacted, do you expect to see any uptick in loan defaults?
Most definitely. Now, uptick in defaults is almost inevitable. After all, we have been fighting this pandemic for more than a year. Now, however, we do not see this to pose a systemic risk to the banking sector for three reasons. Number one, both the government and Bank Negara have provided numerous rounds of stimulus and relief packages which help mitigate the negative impact. And number two, banks have been proactively engaging with their borrowers and offer them assistance. And finally, banks have also been building up provision buffers in anticipation of this eventual rise in default loans. We expect the banks to continue shore up their provision buffers given this latest round of prolonged lockdown.
So finally, what is your call on the banking sector and your topics?
Now, we still have an overweight on the banking sector, with CIMB and Maybank being our preferred picks. We continue to advise investors to look beyond these near-term hiccups and focus on the eventual recovery instead. We believe the worst is truly over for the sector, although the country has re-entered a full lockdown. Now, firstly, consumer and businesses are more prepared now, but most importantly, our vaccination progress has improved over the month, with the number of daily doses now surpassing 200,000 doses per day. Now, we should be able to achieve that 10% vaccination threshold by mid-July should the current momentum continues, and herd immunity is just a matter of time in our view.
Wai Hung, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Liu Wai Hung, banking analyst from RHB Research, with still maintaining an overweight call on the banking sector. Preferred picks there were CIMB as well as Maybank. I think some analysts have said that also they don't really expect much pressure on net interest margins for the banking sector, really, particularly as well if you consider the fact that there aren't any OPR cuts expected this year. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.